Audiobook from Book From Life After Death, or Getting the Hell Out of Here, What Happens After You Die? Or Where Does the Soul Go After Death? From Jeff Cutler. This is a relatively short summary of what happens after death, and owes much to the books on this list. After many years of just offering a PDF, I have finally produced a proper print book, and it is available at Lulu. This is 46 pages on the spirit spheres, including the hells and the astral plane. Foreword. I could not resist picking a cute non-boring title. I trust I did not upset anyone right up front. I decided to write this booklet so that I have something available that is comprehensive yet relatively simple when dealing with folks who are interested in hearing about the next world, our eternal destination. And as I age, naturally I meet more and more folk who have lost a dear one. This is often the stimulus to ask, what happens after death? It is my objective to try and write something that is largely devoid of undue moralizing or religious framework. I initially decided to leave out the sources of my findings, but in this latest revision I have decided to add a list of the more significant sources. This will allow someone who would like to review this summary and obtain greater insight, to do so. I have read very widely on this subject, and this now summarizes some 10 years of research. There are sometimes great differences of opinion out there. That does not mean I am right, but I will have good reasons why I believe what I believe. Where does all this stuff come from? The other side, of course. And of course, none of us has proof. The fact that I believe I spent 30 minutes talking to my deceased mother does not constitute scientific proof, although the comments she directed to me, that referred to a New Way thought conversations I had had with her, pretty well convinced me. That fact, as far as science is concerned, is limited to my spending 30 minutes in the company of a dear friend who is a trance medium. Even the bit about trance medium is not accepted by science. Although just recently they have found that some people can know things about total strangers that is way beyond statistical chance. Incidentally, my mother contributed virtually nothing to this paper, as she was still too new in spirit to know what is going on. But proof to me is finding two or more credible sources with the same issue described. Credible does not to me necessarily mean entirely accurate. Spirits just like humans have opinions, and do not all agree amongst themselves. But a spirit looking down from a substantial spiritual height is likely to be more accurate than one new to spirit life. I am also always more impressed by actual spirit experiences than their opinions about something that may happen in their future. I would like to add a caveat. If you were to pick 100 locations across this earth, and then take the description of one single example as a perfect example of life on earth, clearly there are going to be many who would have significantly different experiences to that one sample of Earth life. So too are life after death stories. Expect differences in the experience that every person will have, but if you look for similarities, these you will find. Now that this document has been revised over an 8-year period, it is becoming difficult to keep short and to the point. In fact, the more you learn, the more you realize that life after death is even more complex than life here. So I apologize in advance to any reader who is aware that some things have been simplified. You may wonder why reincarnation is not even mentioned in this booklet. That is because it is, in my opinion, an illusion. If you would like more information on my research there, look for my publication entitled Is Reincarnation an Illusion? On that subject, death. I guess the first question to ask is whether we all survive death? Until recently I would not have had any doubt about that, but it seems there is a small complication for some people. Many people would be aware that the universe appears to attempt to supply that which we focus on, even if it is not good for us. Those people who are adamant that there is no life after death, and make this a certainty in their life often do not pass immediately from one realm to the next in a conscious state. They are termed sleeping survivors. One, these folks almost get their most fervent wish, annihilation. They may sleep for centuries, before a group awakening. More recent information now suggests that relatively few pass over as sleeping survivors at the present time. This may be because the rules have been changed, as we enter the correcting time and also possibly because there are far more celestial helpers available at this time. Assume these tough cases were grouped together as an efficiency measure which enabled them to handle these folks en masse. But the majority of us simply pass from one state to another, with very little lost time. Some reports state 3 days are lost in this transition, but I now believe that is probably incorrect, and may simply be an attempt to insert some biblical material. Depending on your physical health as you depart this life, you may be instantly conscious of your existence in the next realm, or require some healing in the next. Thus you may pass almost without any break in consciousness. Obviously one would not be aware of lost time, so this issue is impossible to answer accurately without third-party feedback. However, there are many stories which suggest almost no break in time occurs. If you are awake, there is no knowing quite how death will unfold. This is because as the brain shuts down, you can experience many different effects. Most of these are anything but spiritual, although you might think that they do feel spiritual. They are simply the results of the brain shutting down. You might have a life review, sort of like a movie. You may see white tunnels, or black tunnels. You might even have an instant out-of-body experience, where you are floating above your body, looking down on the scene, and that certainly is a spiritual event. Sometimes if the physical body is about to be badly damaged, the spirit body is withdrawn before impact or injury. This gives rise to the out-of-body experience, where you look down as an outsider on your own body, and will avoid you feeling any pain. If you are consciously expecting death, things are probably going to be a bit different. Many people know that they are dying, and seem to gain additional abilities or insights in the last hours or days. They often start to see their spirit guides, and may feel the presence of their love, and be quite calm. There is no reason to panic. For one, it is not going to help, and secondly, for the vast majority of us, what follows is a big improvement over life on Earth. The spirit folks who are full-time workers assisting us to pass over will be in attendance at your passing. Generally, this job is left entirely to these skilled beings, and your spirit family generally waits until you are settled, and then arrives to welcome you. If you are weakening in the last hours of life, you most likely may see one or two of these spirit beings who assist, as this will limit any concern when you see them from the other side. You might be met by dear loved ones who passed over before you, but it is more likely it will be one of those tasked with this function. As you pass through death, initially they may be seen only as a bright white light. This is the basis of the reported white tunnel. Some folks have reported meeting Jesus, if Christian, but this is very unlikely to happen. Not that he is not around, but if he was there, you almost certainly would not recognize him, unless you already know what he looks like, and more to the point, he has far more important things to be doing. Might he have welcomed Mother Teresa? I think that is very likely, but I do not know that for a fact. But I do know of another individual he did welcome. Take it from me, you need to have been doing a pretty special job on Earth to warrant that compliment. And the chances are that you would not need to be reading this book, if that is true. But the folks who assist with this transition know what they are doing, and some of them could appear like a very advanced spirit being. But generally they try to appear as non-threatening as possible and adjust their clothing to suit the occasion. However, it seems that those who see the tunnel of light or actually recognize some of the beings, who are there to meet the newly departed, are in the minority. Far too many depart this life with inadequate spiritual preparation, and the result is that they have great difficulty in triggering their spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. You can imagine that moving from a situation where you operate out of a physical brain, even though it is linked to a spirit mind, is a very different situation when that physical brain is gone, and you must operate entirely with spirit faculties. The result is that many spend a period of time in a dazed state, in almost complete silence, and in almost total darkness. In the meantime, their greeters are frantically trying to make some sort of breakthrough. So if it happens to you, and you hear music, or see shadows or faint voices, do make an effort to hear and see more clearly. The irony is that because the next realm is subject to the influence of our thoughts, Simply believing and saying, "I can see" or "I can hear" will trigger the required spiritual vision and hearing. You may notice that you are completely naked, but this is not often the case. Probably because almost immediately, your spirit companions will create spirit clothes for you. There are various opinions as to whether they wear diaphanous gowns, or clothes that you are familiar with. It seems that it varies, and varies particularly according to your station in the next realm. So the attendants may, in fact, change into a style of clothing for some hours to ease the transition and avoid scaring you. These spirit clothes are great. They don't get dirty and they don't wear out either. And you can change them just by thinking a new outfit, assuming you are sufficiently spiritually advanced. But as individuals progress, they seem to all adopt a sort of diaphanous gown which has very specific colors reflecting the development and even the personality of the individual. The very first thing that is going to happen to you, as you begin to realize something strange is happening, is that you will travel. I have only a vague idea how far that is, and it will probably not take more than a few seconds, or maybe a few minutes. While a lot of people report going to a way station, each person can have a unique experience. So from this point on, it's very hard to say what will exactly happen to you. For example, if you departed this earth life in need of significant spiritual repair, it's almost certain you will be taken unconscious to a hospital, albeit rather different to ours, for recovery, and you would regain your consciousness in that location. This repair can cover emotional as well as physical weaknesses. Some people are in effect scarred by their life experiences and need considerable work before they are freed from these effects. Curiously, the material and the physical worlds can be quite interwoven, to have outcomes in the spiritual realm that result from the physical. Let's assume that you will arrive at a way station, a collection point for recently deceased individuals, as this is relatively common. No doubt with much coming and going. It is very pleasant, attractive, with a very loving atmosphere, and you will soon feel very relaxed. It has been described as a station concourse, but I don't think that describes a loving atmosphere, although it may well be accurate in terms of comings and goings, and meeting loved ones. Sometimes these places are described as outside, on a hillside. It will undoubtedly feel like the best place you have ever been to. Things are looking up, you conclude. When you arrive in the next realm, you will immediately notice an upstep in frequency, not just in your own spirit body but in your surroundings as well. What you begin to experience is a higher frequency in which you exist. The colors are more vibrant. The plant life is more lush and alive. If at this point you start to think about what you have left behind, you might find that you are right back there. In other words, you can travel, virtually instantly, just by thinking about it. So you might well see your family back on Earth, shedding tears about your passing. But they won't see you, or hear you. You are much better off at this stage going back to the transition place, particularly as at this very early stage you will still have strong Earth attractions. Later on it is safer to travel back to Earth because these ties will have dissipated. Back on Earth you may be able to see everything just as you used to, but you will find that nothing is solid. You can pass through people, walls, everything. But the ability to discern things on Earth seems to be inversely related to the degree of spiritual advancement of the individual, and is one of the faculties that can be lost quite quickly. So some people can see the Earth and its human forms relatively clearly in this early stage if they are somewhat unevolved spiritually, while others have as much difficulty as we do in seeing spirit. However, you will notice that you can hear dear mortal friends thinking about you, and you may almost instantly visit them. If you are really lucky, you may find a few who can feel your presence, and this will give you a big thrill, just as it will give them a thrill to know you are around. You may even be able to create a few signs that let folk know you are still around. Things like leaving a telltale cigar smell, or making a noise or two, or leaving your favorite flower where it will be seen, or perhaps by leaving a scent in the air. How they do those things? Frankly, I don't know. But back at the way station, things are very solid. You can hug old friends, and they can certainly hear you. The spirit body appears very solid, and still appears to need to breathe, but does not need sleep or food as sustenance. But, in the early phase, sleep may be required, however that phase will soon pass. While you can talk in the old conventional way, you will also discover that it seems to be possible to converse just via thoughts. Then you notice that they must be hearing your thoughts, and you hearing their thoughts. And then you have a dreadful realization. These folk know everything about you. They can simply read your memories. And they hear your thoughts. You recall that time you got Fred fired by making up a confidential report, and rather stretching the facts to suit. Now here you have to look Fred in the eye. He knows, but strangely he's not mad. Or maybe, you remember wearing that really low-cut dress for the Christmas party and how successful it was in starting that affair with Joe. And here is Sally, Joe's partner, smiling at you. Total openness leads to the rapid realization that all of us fail from time to time. Actually, not all thoughts are shared, so we can still have some secrets. During this period of orientation, you start to notice that not all spirits are quite the same. Some have a beautiful countenance and way about them. And they are brighter, and amazingly loving. This brightness seems to come right out of them. Others are baser, dark, indeed some are downright ugly. As you wonder why this might be, you suddenly begin to wonder where you fit in. Are you ugly, or beautiful? Bright or dark? At this point you will also know that you are just the same person that you were in the mortal life, with the same beliefs, memories, attitudes, values, fears, unresolved issues and loves. How did this happen? After all, your brain is already consigned to dust. Quite simply, as a mortal on Earth you had three major components. There was your soul, which as far as we can tell, was probably billions of years old. Then there was your spirit body, which encapsulates the soul, and takes on the appearance of the mortal body. Just as well, because none of us can see souls, but we can see spirit bodies. It seems that the spirit body is a sort of reflection of the enclosed soul. If the soul is pure, the spirit body is literally full of light. If the soul is tarnished, the spirit body is dark, even ugly. And finally, of course, you had a mortal body. While you may have thought that all your memories were in your brain, it seems it is not quite so. The spirit body houses the mind, and the brain is the transducer that allows the physical body to interact with the spirit body and its mind. So you may have lost the physical body, but most folks report feeling much lighter, and far prefer only having a spirit body. For one thing, it has no defects. If you lost a leg, you will find you are now perfect. If your brain suffered from senile dementia, you will have no such limitation now. And there are some neat tricks you will learn in the future in regards to your spirit body, as you progress spiritually. I have recently learnt that the spirit body itself is complex, and has at least two constituents, one being a relatively gross astral body, and the other a more etheric spirit body. Just at this point, the spirits who manage this transition process explained that in the heavens, the law of attraction is paramount. Every spirit has to live where it fits in, where it is in harmony. And, yes, those beautiful ones, that seem somehow ethereal, are more advanced, and no, most probably you won't live with them. You can look down at your hands, or ask for a mirror to see how you rate. They will explain that you can progress beyond where you start out, but probably you won't be listening closely enough. You may be concerned that you are not going to be living with your dear Madge, who passed some years before you. She says that she will come and visit you regularly. Things are rapidly beginning to sound more complicated. The structure of the heavens. I guess many practical folk have long realized you can get almost no sense out of most religions when you ask about heaven. All that singing and harp-plucking stuff that is supposed to go on, and strutting around on streets of gold. Or maybe the idea that you are going to be asleep until some great day of judgment. And particularly the notion that you will be magically, and instantly perfect. It is far more logical to consider that since mortals have been around a very long time, probably over a million years on Earth, that there has been a heaven all that time, with spirits in it. Certainly the holy books, like the Bible, happily report interactions with the spirit world going back many years before Jesus. Perhaps I should point out here that the spirit realm that I am about to discuss would appear not to be the kingdom of God that so many Orthodox Christians expect to enter via Jesus' help. This is undoubtedly the cause of a great deal of confusion, and even heartache. It is what has led so many Christians to conclude, incorrectly, that only they will get to heaven and everyone else will only get to hell. The real issue is which heaven, something they have not considered, even though a significant clue is given in the Bible that there may be more than one heaven, in a reference to the third heaven in the New Testament. For the main part of this paper covers the kingdom of spirit, also called the spirit spheres and not the kingdom of God. It may even be the case that we create this spirit heaven ourselves. Not to suggest God has nothing to do with it, but as spirits we have great powers, which powers increase as the spirit advances. So it would not surprise me if in fact the realities that are found are created by the spirits that are there. And this creation need not necessarily be conscious. This would explain why some spirits, and indeed many NDEs, near-death experiences, seem to describe confusingly different places. We have explanations of Jewish heavens, and the classic Christian heavens, complete with harps, witnessing and bright holy images. We have descriptions of fire and brimstone hells, and also dark places that are simply cold, sad, dead places. One thing that is quite clear, the belief system of the spirit has a very large effect on the experience it will have. Whether this is only a function of the law of attraction, which causes like-minded spirits to congregate, or whether it is the will of the spirit that creates a reality it expects, is uncertain. But what is certain, is that real places exist, that vary substantially. The most common description of the kingdom of spirit talks about seven spheres or worlds. However, these should not be taken too literally, but it seems that however they are constructed, they are immense in size. There is absolutely no shortage of space. Then there are also the vast uncountable heavens beyond the seventh sphere. Where are all these places? Well, we are not sure, but the universe is very much larger than man has supposed. Apparently, what we humans think is the entire universe is but a very tiny corner of one of many super universes. 5 and some 80% of the material is apparently not visible to man anyway, but is visible to spirit. Could it be another dimension? It almost certainly is, because the first spirit sphere is located right here, somewhere in the space created by our orbit round the sun. That is extremely large, and obviously very close. But irrespective of the number of time-space dimensions that may exist, the distances involved in traversing our universe are immense. Added to this, the solid material of the next realm can coexist in space with solid material from our realm. So different solid objects can occupy the same spot, one in each dimension. One of the difficulties or problems in getting a good description of the heavens comes from the apparent fact that the bottom-up view is so limited and confused. Folks enter at the bottom of this schema, with very limited knowledge, and so they have to learn a great deal, over many years, before they could really be considered to know. And even then, as we will see later, time in spirit does not equate to advancement. We are accustomed, on Earth, to always know who is in charge, and how things are organized. But in the next realm, free will is paramount. You will not be used to this idea, as Earth is quite different. If you want to believe something, you will be allowed to believe that, and furthermore, the law of attraction will ensure that you find yourself amongst others of like mind, who will agree with your outlook. So, you will be in the situation that unless you ask for information, you will be left with your belief. It is not going to happen that someone will knock at your door, proselytize and hand out a few pamphlets. That might be a relief for quite a few of us. Even the issue of religious groups is interesting. There are still many folks in spirit that insist on following their old earth-based religion. However, they are absolutely not allowed to proselytize. There is another problem. Spirits are confined, to a large degree, to the sphere in which they reside. This is where they are in harmony, and they would not feel comfortable any higher or lower in the scheme. This does not mean that all in the same sphere are identical in outlook. One can still find intellectuals and religious folk in the same sphere, but typically not in close proximity. Indeed, there are many such diverse groupings, called planes, within each sphere. There is also the issue that your perception is a function of your spiritual development. So, if you are in the first sphere, you may be told there are other spheres, but you may not be able to see them. This is not like living in Australia, and knowing that there are other continents, such as the Americas, and knowing you could live there if you wanted to, or go there for an extended holiday. It is possible to have a very short visit to a higher sphere, but to achieve this you need to be taken there by someone with the spiritual power to enable you to travel there. What I am sure of is that you will find Catholics living together, groups of intellectuals, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, etc., and each of these groups will believe that their current happiness is a function of what they believe. This is not surprising, except if they compared themselves carefully with others, this would immediately illustrate the falsity of the idea. In this sense, I describe things as confused from the bottom up. A great many other folks have simply given up their earth-based religious beliefs. In fact, in the list of sources are a few books by Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson, received by Anthony Borgia VI, who, although a Roman Catholic cleric, gave up all his prior religious beliefs inside a few hours. Such is the reality of the next realm, that many of people's earth beliefs simply cannot withstand the reality. And I suspect that the rest who cling to outdated beliefs, as though it is a sort of security blanket, simply because it is what they are used to. And in yet others, it is because they don't know what else to believe. Indeed, modern statistics will tell us only a small percentage of us are early adopters, people who are happy to try new things and are actively out there looking for new experiences. There is no overall agreement about what happens next, and what is best for spiritual progression or what is the right belief. In fact, I don't even think these lower spirits generally know who is in charge, and maybe some are only vaguely aware of the desirability of seeking to progress. So I would guess there may be spirits in the first sphere who might dispute that there is a second sphere, never mind an almost unlimited number beyond that. Those in charge always respect the free will choices of these spirits, so it is only through a conscious choice to follow a leader's direction that people can be said to be led. The leaders are far more advanced, live somewhere else where you cannot go, and cannot be seen unless they decide to make themselves visible. This is because the more advanced spirits have an ability to conceal themselves from less advanced spirits. In some ways, it is like it is on Earth when we try to understand what happens after death. Our perception of the next realm is limited, and indeed there are many on Earth that would dispute that there is any life after death. The authority that we were used to on Earth is simply absent. In that sense, you can experience total freedom of choice to do as you please. Whether that might be doing something, or doing almost nothing. But it also means you can follow dozens of spiritual paths that don't lead anywhere special. In fact, almost everything that you do will probably lead to increased happiness, so it is very easy to believe you are on the right path. And this is typically how spirits continue. They ascribe their current happiness to the path they are on, but it may be that there is nothing special about that path compared to many other paths. However, in another respect, the spheres are supremely organized, with no chaos or poor organization. There is always someone in charge of a specific function, and they love their job, and have been superbly trained to perform it perfectly. So if you feel like being trained in a specific activity, this can be accomplished perfectly. Of course, there are other things that make it easy. You don't need to eat, although folks apparently enjoy nuts and fruits in the spirit spheres. They don't have digestive organs, so these foods are not eaten as we do on Earth, but apparently more like inhaled. The same with water, this refreshes, but is not used to sustain. Since you don't need to eat, clearly you don't need a job to earn money to survive. Indeed, there is no money, because all you need is given. So, you will do things because you enjoy them, not because you have to. Well, that depends on where you are. These comments would appear to not apply in the lowest planes of the first sphere that we will talk about soon. Although we describe the spirit heavens as having seven spheres, in reality there are an almost infinite number of planes within these.